Luke 10:25-37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit the eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, passed to the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to a place and saw him, passed by on the other side also. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. When he saw him, took pity on him, and went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he took the man and put him on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you might have. Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? The expert in law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. May the Lord bless the reading of this word.
What does laity mean to the church? Webster's definition of laity is the body of religious worshipers as distinguished from the clergy. But what does this really mean? Laity is of great importance for the present day. With differing gifts, all Christians are of the laity. We are all called to minister in God's name. The church exists wherever the people of God live, work, think, play, pray, serve, and struggle that the will of God be done on earth. So basically, we should take God everywhere with us and tell everyone, not just Christians, but even to non-believers. Everyone has one spiritual gift. Some people may have more than one, but everyone is blessed with one. This leads to worship, which brings pleasure to God. The Psalm chapter 147, verse 11 says, the Lord is pleased only with those who worship him and trust his love. Everything we do is a pleasure to God. When many people think of worship, they automatically think of music. But worship is not just that. Every part of the church service is worship, from the introit to the prayers to the children's moment to the sermon. All of it is worshiping God. Like I said earlier, we should tell everyone about Christ because worship is not just for the church service. As we take it with us, we should praise God all day. Like David said in Psalm chapter 34, verse 1, I will thank the Lord at all times. My mouth will always praise him. So what does this have to do with church laity, especially the youth? Many of our youth members are a part of several groups in the church, such as the choir, praise team, FFF, the United Methodist Men, and the United Methodist Women. I could have each youth stand up and let you know what they're part of, but we're not in these groups for recognition. We're a part of them for the glory of God. Like Heather read earlier, the Bible says we should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength and with all your mind. The youth here are just as involved as the elders in the church. One important project that we have done lately was the cleaning of the sanctuary for homecoming. We have also participated in different activities throughout the year, such as counseling at day camp and serving at the sweetheart banquet. In December, many of us will be helping serve at the Dinner Without Partners meal and babysitting on Parents' Day Out. Yesterday, Miss Lori Shackelford and I were driving back from delivering food when she read a marquee in front of a church that said, God will use anyone who is willing. Basically, you have to ask for any blessing to be received upon you. As Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8 reads, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, who he seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. I want to leave you with this story that I found in the book, The Prayer of Jabez for Teens. And it's called You Have to Ask. What if you found out that God had what God had in mind to send you 23 specific blessings today, but you only got one. What do you suppose the reason would be? There's a story about a Mr. Jones who dies and goes to heaven. St. Peter is waiting at the gates to give him a tour. Heaven is quite an amazing place, but in the middle of all the stunning sights, Mr. Jones notices a weird-looking building, sort of an enormous warehouse. When he asks Peter to see inside, Peter hesitates. You really don't want to look in there, he tells a new arrival. But Jones can't wait, not knowing a secret. What could be waiting for me in there? He wonders. So he argues until his tour guide gives in. When Peter opens a door, Mr. Jones almost knocks him over in his hurry to get in. What he sees is row after row of shelves, floor to ceiling, each stacked neatly with white boxes tied with red ribbons. These boxes all have names on them, he mutters aloud. Then turning to Peter, he asks, do I have one? Oh, sure, Peter says. Then he tries to get Jones to leave, but Jones won't be stopped. He dashes toward the J aisle. There are only 640 billion Joneses in heaven, so it doesn't take him long to find his box. Peter catches up with him just as he is slipping the red ribbon off of his box and popping the lid. Looking inside, Jones has a moment of instant recognition. Then he lets out a deep sigh, like the ones Peter has heard so many times before. Because there in Mr. Jones's white box are all of the blessings that God wanted to give to him while he was on earth, but Mr. Jones never asked. Don't miss the big idea in this story. You do not have because you do not ask, the Bible says. Ask, promised Jesus, and it will be given to you. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? You see, even though there is no limit to God's goodness if you don't ask him for a blessing yesterday, you didn't get all that he wanted to give you. And that's the catch. If you don't ask for his blessing, you forfeit those that will come to you only by asking. God's blessings in our lives are limited only by us, not by his resources, power, or willingness to give. If you doubt that God could be that giving, maybe you need to meet the real God. Thank you.
Will you please join me for this scripture lesson, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20?
And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. You remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thank you.
In Matthew 28:19, Jesus commanded his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations and to teach them to obey everything that he had taught them. We are part of the nations that were to be taught to obey Jesus Christ's teachings. We are to love one another and to spread his word. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are to spread good news of life everlasting and to help others. Jesus Christ did not intend for just priests and pastors to spread his word. We wanted all who believe to do his work. As a church, we do this in several ways. This past spring, we held a reading radio and invited the community to share in Christian celebration. We opened our vacation Bible school to all in the community to come learn about Jesus Christ. Tomorrow evening, we are holding a trunk or treat for the community to have a safe alternative for Halloween. We have a food pantry to help those in need. Several people that have benefited from this pantry are not church members, but people in the neighborhood that are in need for our help. We openly welcome all who would like to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ and to Christian way life. In November, the youth are attending pilgrimage at the Coliseum here in Fayetteville. Pilgrimage is where all of the United Methodist church youth groups gather together to share in Christian love and fellowship. All of these activities are showing laity in the community. This is what Christ meant when he said to go and spread the word, make disciples of all nations.
For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me into test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. I will rebuke the locust for you so that it will not destroy the produce of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not be barren, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will count you happy, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Word of God for the people of God.
We all know what tithing is. It's when we give 10% of our earnings to the Lord. Tithing should not be confused with offering. Tithes are what we owe to the Lord. Offerings are extra gifts that we give to the Lord. Offerings are not a part of our tithings. A lot of people do not tithe for various reasons. They may feel like they cannot afford to tithe. They may not know what their money is going towards. Or they know what tithing is, but they simply refuse to tithe. The Bible is very clear on tithing. As David just read in Malachi chapter 3, tithing is giving what we owe to God. When we keep our tithes, we are robbing him. There once was a lady named Sister Mary. One day before the presentation of God's tithes and offerings, Sister Mary began to contemplate whether or not she would give her tithe to the Lord. She held a $20 bill in her hand as she prayed silently. She explained to God how much she needed the money and then asked for a sign telling her that she could keep her tithe. As she opened her eyes, she saw the ushers begin to pass the offering plates through the pews. Suddenly, a breeze came through the window and her $20 bill was blown onto the ground. "Thank you, Lord," she said to herself as she got up to retrieve the bill. Suddenly, a lady coming down the outside aisle picked up the bill and said, "I'll get that for you, Sister Mary," and she dropped the bill in the offering plate. Sister Mary's reluctance in giving her tithes to the Lord is something that we must avoid in order to receive the full blessings of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, we are told, "Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver." I have not always been a cheerful giver myself. When I was younger, every time I got a large sum of money, say $50, I knew I was expected to put $5 in church, because that was 10%. Oftentimes I would think how instead of having $45 in my wallet, I could have $50. I wasn't giving with a cheerful heart. Now my attitude towards tithing has changed. As some of you know, I have a lawn care business. I cut grass during the summer. And this summer in particular, I made a whole lot of money. And every time at the end of the week, I would count up how much I made. I would calculate how much I would give from that. And then when the offering plates came during Sunday, the Sunday service, I would just take it out of my wallet, put it in the offering plate, and I wouldn't think about it again. I was giving with a cheerful heart. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, that's one verse that I live by. Another statement that I live by with my tithing is by John Wesley. He says, "Make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can." Before, when I made a lot of money, I sort of had a little reluctance to give 10%. But now when I make a lot of money, I'm actually happy because I can give more. It says in the Bible that when you tithe to the Lord, He is pleased and He blesses you. I have a few personal experiences where I felt God has blessed me because of my tithing. There was a yard this summer that I was supposed to cut. The lady, she told me the $20 would be in a car parked in her yard. But when I got the $20, the car was actually in her neighbor's yard, so I cut her neighbor's yard instead. She called me, and I had to come back about a week later to cut her yard for free. I was really mad about this, and I had a hard time cutting the yard just because I was so angry. Well, I went to my truck where I keep my extension cords and stuff, and there was a book bag. As I was looking through the book bag, I found a $20 bill. I don't know where the $20 bill came from. I may have forgotten it there, or God may have put it there, but I feel that was a blessing from God for my tithing. Another blessing to me is good grades. Every time I make good grades, my dad has an incentive where I get a certain amount for each A, and then it doubles if I have straight A's, and I try to tithe off of that. Well, for the past 5 report cards, I've gotten straight A's. Along with my hard work, I feel God has blessed me. And more recently, a big blessing I think I've received from God is an acceptance to West Point. It came as a total surprise to me, and I didn't really think I was that competitive. But I was accepted, and I really feel that was a blessing. If anyone in the congregation today does not ask you to seriously consider it, I can honestly witness to you that when you tithe with a giving heart, God will surely bless you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that the sermonettes given here today will touch the hearts of those who have heard them. We ask that you continue to bless us as we continue to live by your word. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen.